Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Business Hour. I'm Ron Camacho, your host. And today the business at hand is the business of what is being done to support wounded combat veterans. And I'm very pleased to have as my guest today Jared Ogden, the CEO and founder of the Phoenix Patriot Foundation, which is making a difference in the lives of these wounded combat veterans that are simply trying to get back to a life of normality, if you can call it normal. These severely wounded veterans are learning to recover, to reintegrate, and to remain engaged. And so I'm very pleased that, Jared, you're taking the time to join us today on the Business Hour. Good morning and welcome.
Well, good morning, Ron, and thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to spend the next few minutes with you.
Before we begin, Jared, I just want to tell our listeners a little bit about you. It may put into context how it is that you came to, in essence, be inspired or at least had the mindset to be concerned about your fellow combat veterans. You graduated from the Naval Academy in 2004 with a degree in political science. You were deployed aboard the USS Belleau Wood in the Northern Arabian Gulf in 2007. You attended the basic underwater demolition SEAL training, and then upon completion, you became a Navy SEAL in June 2008. It was during your second deployment to Afghanistan that you had a teammate and friend who was severely injured by an IED, and it resulted in the amputation of both legs and severe internal injuries. And upon return from Afghanistan in the spring of 2010, you visited Walter Reed Army Medical Center. And the seeds were planted, I would imagine, to do something to help these wounded combat veterans, and you'll tell us more about that. So why don't we start there and have you tell us about your transition out of the military and your exposure to wounded combat veterans, either in the field before you entered civilian life, or that whole transformation that took place that led to the formation of the Phoenix Patriot Foundation.
Well, Ron, you summed up my military background accurately and well, and it was on my second deployment that my platoon commander, Dan Knossen, was blown up, and he suffered a lot of internal injuries, and both of his legs were amputated above the knees. Now, it's important to understand the context of this, because this was our very first operation when we deployed. This is how we came out of the gates with our fearless leader getting blown up. And long story short, you fast forward 7 months, and the platoon returns back to San Diego. Now, this is after 7 months of high-intensity fighting, very kinetic, and we landed on the tarmac at Naval Air Station North Island in Coronado, California, and there was Dan. He had been blown up 7 months earlier, and he is on his brand-new prosthetic limbs. A little bit wobbly, it takes a lot of practice to get good at those. And so I spent the next three of the four following weeks with Dan, either at Walter Reed or at Balboa Naval Hospital. And one afternoon, Dan and I, we were doing his rehab in occupational therapy, and we were tossing the medicine ball, just working on core strength. And I had a split-second conversation with myself. I can't explain it in a split second, but it went like this. If I was Dan, what would I want to do with the rest of my life? Now, keep in mind, I had just gotten home from this kinetic deployment. And in that mindset, what I wanted to do in that moment with no needs would be, I want to learn how to fly drones. You know, the predators that have been making the news lately. I'd want to learn how to fly those so that I can provide real-time information to the operators on the ground and give them the kind of intel that they need to make good, smart battlefield decisions, and also, of course, to, you know, drop ordnance on bad people to save the lives of good people and good Afghan citizens. So following that, if you will, that flex capacitor moment, you know, and back to the future for the younger listeners, the Will Ferrell moment of genius, I talked to counselors at Walter Reed, and I did online research trying to figure out how can Jared, in this hypothetical situation, learn how to fly drones. And there wasn't a clear path to go and do that. And so that fact, in tandem with all the, you know, veterans that I did meet during those 3 weeks that are missing limbs and TBI and just have, you know, numerous issues, trying to reestablish that normalcy in their lives. I took all these experiences and all this information back to San Diego, and at the time I lived in a house that was full of Navy SEALs. I mean, it was a revolving door of SEALs, and we would barbecue as often as possible. And one night, a couple weeks after that trip, we're barbecuing, and we're talking about our collective experience, visiting friends and, you know, other folks that we do know that have been, you know, maimed by the war. And we pulled out the whiteboard, and we started, you know, putting our ideas on the whiteboard. And the next morning, I reviewed everything on the whiteboard, and we had the skeleton of a 501c3. With a mission statement and pillars and ideas. And it was that night that the concept was born. Following that, I filed the 501c3 paperwork. And 5 months later, we were recognized by the IRS in the state of California as a 501c3. And that was about 3.5 years ago.
You know, Jared, it would seem to me that in that first moment when you imagined Dan doing something like operating drones, it was an ideal transition scenario, surprising that no one had thought about it before. Since that time, is Dan now in a position? Is he working in drone ops? And are there other military personnel in that area of drone operations?
Well, and again, just for clarification, this was, you know, I was putting myself in Dan's situation, and had I been blown up, I would want to fly the drones. The biggest challenge with transitioning from the military, whether you're someone like me that's not combat wounded, or certainly more so for guys that are transitioning out, that are missing limbs, that have to find that new normal in their life. The challenge has always been going from the military, where the purpose is very clear, to finding that sense of purpose outside as a civilian. Knossen, he's done that well, and he has continued to serve red, white, and blue, and I'm very proud of him and what he has done. He just competed for USA in Sochi in the Paralympics in the biathlon. So the whole premise of our foundation is to help combat wounded veterans post 9/11 return to a life of service, because it's an individual aspect of your life, and if you're passionate about the next chapter, you're going to succeed. You're going to do it. The one thing that I do ask of all the combat wounded veterans that we do work with attack that next chapter in their life with the same intensity and passion that was required of them to get through the Crucible or Ranger training or Hell Week or the combat missions. Because if you maintain that strong mindset, you can truly accomplish anything. And the individually tailored approach that we use is critical, because going back to the initial research that I did and talking to the different counselors, these government services and existing 501c3s that are veteran-centric tend to fall into one of two categories. The first category is the mission sets are very, very stovepiped in nature. So there might be an organization or a program that exists to help veterans transition from the military to the IT world or the military to construction. And that's awesome. That's great if you want to do IT work or if you want to enter construction as a profession. But if you don't fall under those categories, really, it's almost like a presidential election, and you know, you're picking between the lesser of two bads. The other category would be organizations and services that do very short-term work, take you out for a fishing trip, take you out for a bicycle ride during the weekend, and on Sunday you get dropped back off at the hospital, high fives go around, and that's kind of it. But I argue that these men and women who have served our country, they have a different taste of freedom. They've bled for it, and it's their story that is so important that our countrymen, our peers, and that our children are aware of. I mean, this is the fabric of America, and these are the stories that need to be told.
Well, it would seem to me, Jared, you know, in that moment when you were imagining what it is that you'd want to do, you were thinking in terms of continuing to make an active contribution within the military, and drones certainly seems to me to be one of those areas that could be an ideal transition. But obviously the idea is you want to help these guys, you want to be supportive of these guys to actually be productive and to, in fact, and then later in the program, we'll talk a little bit about a project, an adventure, if you will, that a couple of guys will undertake, and that's the Mount Kilimanjaro mission, we'll call it.
Yes, sir.
But for right now, let's talk a little bit about some of the key players that you may have engaged. And I have to say that as a former Navy SEAL or a current Navy SEAL, you are in some ways uniquely skilled with the Phoenix Patriot Foundation mission, and a critical mass of Navy SEALs would seem to have the right metal, the right mindset, the right skill set to help get a project like this off the ground. So it's not surprising that at that barbecue on that day, you whipped out the whiteboard and began to conceive of the Phoenix Patriot Foundation. We're going to be taking a break here, Jared, but when we come back, we'll talk just a little bit about some of the key players and have you describe the mission, and we'll actually drill down to talk about recovery, reintegration, and remaining engaged. We're with Jared Ogden. We'll be back with Jared Ogden to learn more about the Phoenix Patriot Foundation right after this break.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, It seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Solution providers, are you aware of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism's multiple marketing platforms? You're invited to get a little closer to IHC with our Solution Provider Membership Marketing Program. Through IHC's exclusive Solution Provider Membership, your business gets an all-access pass to engaging your prospects. This membership embeds your business within the Institute, which immediately aligns your company, its solutions, and your key executives with the nationally credible IHC brand and shows your support of the healthcare consumerism movement as a market-wide solution. And that's just the beginning. Contact IHC's Managing Director, Brent Macy, today at bmacy@theihcc.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. We're here with Jared Ogden, the CEO and founder of the Phoenix Patriot Foundation that's dedicated to helping combat wounded veterans recover, reintegrate, and remain engaged. And Jared, let's talk a little bit about some of the other key players involved and have you describe that mission and tell us a little bit about recover, reintegrate, and remain engaged as part of that mission.
Sure. Well, the most important fact with this is everybody on our team is driven by passion. If you look at the board of directors, most of these guys and girls are Naval Academy classmates of mine and veterans themselves. Ryan Kelly and I, we attended the Naval Academy together. He's an active duty Marine Corps pilot. Bobby Temple, he's an active duty Army Special Forces officer. Bobby and I are best friends from childhood. Crystal Niehoff, again, she's a classmate of mine from Annapolis. She's a former Marine. Blake Bechtel is a very passionate civilian who has a lot of business experience and absolutely loves the work that we do collectively. And operationally speaking, Guy McDermott is a retired Navy SEAL. He runs our operations department. And directly under him is Jackson Goodell, who is a combat wounded Army Ranger who deals with day-to-day operations. So when you look at that aspect of the team, I mean, these are people who understand it, who get it, and how that works, how that plays into our mission and carrying out that mission is we like to use the Navy SEAL model in everything that we do. And so boots on the ground, what that means is we take out small groups of individual veterans who are combat wounded, and we take them out on challenge events is what I call them. And we work with small numbers because I would rather take out five or six combat wounded veterans and get to know them on a personal level than I would want to take 100 people to an Atlanta Braves game and get to know them hardly at all, shake a few hands and that's it. So at these challenge events, there's an instant mutual respect between the veterans who we're getting to know and ourselves, because we've been there. We understand as much as one can who wasn't shot or blown up what the challenges are associated with it, because it's been our friends who have been in that same situation. So once the trust is there, typically what happens is these men and women that we're facilitating, they open up and they tell us what it is that they want to do next. And really, that's where our mission begins. Because at that time, now that we know what the individual wants to do, we can match that with a plan that's realistic with their skill sets, with their aptitude. So that's the recovery part. the reintegration aspect, what's key to that is mentorship. So once a profession is identified, we'll reach out from within our network, and we will find an appropriate mentor to work one-on-one with this individual, help create the plan to get from where we are today to whatever the desired end state is going to be. And so really a very personal relationship is formed and developed there. And of course, everything ultimately results in returning to a life of service. And as an organization, we define service as positively contributing to society. So it's very open-ended. There's really not a left flank and a right flank on this firing range. If you want to do something that's going to better society, your community, our nation, and you work hard and you're passionate about it, we're going to help you.
You know, Jared, it would seem to me that following the Navy service model with boots on the ground, that it's a model that is built around highly effective small teams. Would you say that's accurate?
Without a doubt. We work in small numbers, but the impact that we have is strategic in the SEAL teams. Same thing in this foundation. We don't measure success based on how many water bottles we passed out or T-shirts we gave combat wounded veterans. We measure success based upon the strategic positive impact that we have on the individual. So that's an important thing to keep in mind, for the listeners who are learning about this organization. It's all about quality and not quantity with us, just like in the teams.
Well, I also don't want to belabor this point because you've appeared to me, even prior to this broadcast, to be an extremely modest guy with an ambitious mission. But the American military still manages, in my opinion, to get some of the best and the brightest of our young men and women to serve. And the academies are fortunate enough to be the cream of that crop. And by harnessing some of your fellow Navy SEALs, it seems to me you've assembled a critical mass of really good minds put against this extremely valuable mission that is helping veterans to be productive. This is an aside of sorts, but did you come up with the name Phoenix Patriot Foundation? Was that a obvious reference to rising from the ashes?
Yes, sir. It's funny, Ron, that you bring that up. We had the skeleton of the foundation set up, and actually the hardest part was what are we going to name this? And it was one of those things where it was always on the forefront of my mind. And it took quite a while to come up with the name, and then it hit me like a lightning bolt. And absolutely, it is a reference to the mythological creature, the Phoenix, because it's so relevant to you come back to life with a new body, but you have all of your past experiences from which to draw upon. So it is, you are correct in your assumption. It has everything to do with rising from the ashes and continuing to move forward and do good work.
And Jared, how did you determine the scope? Recovering, reintegrating, and remaining engaged those are three very, very strong pillars to have as a foundation. How did you arrive at the scope of what the Phoenix Patriot Foundation would do?
Well, every project that I involve myself in, they project forward and they cascade outward. So, and a big part of that, and I attribute all of my successes in life to the team that I'm surrounded by, whether that's my parents and my family as a child and friends of the family, all the way, through the Boy Scouts of America and the troop in Roswell, Georgia, to the Naval Academy and certainly as an active duty naval officer and through now. It's always been team-centric. So, we came up with this concept together, and we knew that there was a gap that, let's be honest, the government cannot fill that gap. Other 501c3s weren't filling it, and we knew that we took a look at the existing problems, and we felt as though we could have substantial positive impact on it. And all the successes that we've had in 3.5 years, I mean, let's be honest, this is a grassroots organization driven by passion, and through our successes because of our incredible team, we've been able to accomplish quite a bit from very humble beginnings and not too much time either.
Well, Jared, let's actually turn to how the Phoenix Patriot Foundation is supported. And I would like to think that the government in some capacity, the Department of Defense, the Department of Veterans Affairs, that they would recognize the value of what you're doing and that they might even provide some funding. Is that the case? Do they recognize you as a 501c3 organization that, and is there a mechanism for funding of the government from the government to a nonprofit like the Patriot, the Phoenix Patriot Foundation?
Well, the extent of the support from the government really stops at Phoenix Patriot Foundation being recognized by the IRS in the state of California, where we are incorporated as a 501c3. Beyond that, we have received zero funding from the government. This is purely fueled by good citizens that make periodic donations. Ron, I can't tell you how important it is and how we've been able to do these great programs that have done awesome things for very deserving men and women in uniform just through the periodic $10 and $20 and $30 donations from regular people like you and me. That's been the source of how we were able to do this. It's small donations from good folks that believe in what we're doing. And, I think the most important part on that is the folks that every quarter they come back and they send us another check for $25. That goes a long way. And fiscal responsibility is very important, and along with that, transparency. So I would like to share with all the listeners and you, Ron, that since our creation 3.5 years ago, every year we have at a minimum increased our revenue, if you will, by at least 250%. And a trend that I'm more proud to report than that is every year we've also become more efficient with our funding. So 2013 numbers came in several months ago, and we fundraised just over $200,000, and we were operating at 84% efficiency. And our goal is 90%. Thank you.
That's highly commendable.
Thank you. And Ron, we're not where I want to be yet. We're working on it. Both of those trends will continue.
Well, Jared, we're going to actually take a break, but when we come back, we're going to have Will Cannon joining us, and then we'll be able to talk about some of the fundraising events that are coming up as well, and we'll remind listeners of how they could get in touch with the Phoenix Patriot Foundation to make a donation. But we'll have Will Cannon, who is helping undertake a very, very special mission that we talked about right after the break. So when we come back, we'll have Jared Ogden and Will Cannon joining us. Stay tuned in.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that allergy season in Georgia is year-round? Beginning in July through November, ragweed is the predominant pollen. But February through May, tree pollen causes allergy symptoms. Grass pollen occurs from mid-May through the beginning of July. If you suffer from daily nasal congestion, sneezing, runny nose, headache, ear clogging, or popping, or a chronic cough, these symptoms may be due to allergy and not infection. You should also think of allergies if there is no fever, chills, or colored mucus. Treatment should include nasal salt water sprays over the counter or antihistamines that do not cause drowsiness. If you have persistent headaches, a decrease in your sense of smell, or nosebleeds, you should see an ear, nose, and throat physician. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. I'm Ron Camacho, your host, and I'm very pleased to have joining Jared Ogden, the CEO and founder of the Phoenix Patriot Foundation, Will Cannon. Will Cannon, formerly Army Special Operations, had a great deal of action, well, in Iran and Afghanistan, and experienced the bloodshed of his fellow team members, and it was following that active duty that actually Will had challenging situations of his own that included post-traumatic stress disorder, and soon thereafter testicular cancer. And you know, one or the other would be a huge challenge for most people to deal with. The combination, Will, must have almost put you into a tailspin. And I'm wondering if that fight is part of what makes you an ideal contributor to the Phoenix Patriot Foundation. And in a moment, we'll talk about how you're applying that grit to a really fantastic mission, the Mount Kilimanjaro mission. But Will, tell us a little bit about what went on leading up to meeting Jared, and maybe even sharing with us a little bit of that meeting.
Yes, sir. I was in the Army at 17, and spent only 4.5 years in. And during that time, I went overseas, and I had the unfortunate chance of losing some men over there, some guys, some buddies, and we discussed how, while I was there, you know, I would double and triple check corners. I would, you know, double check, triple check my gear, and as soon as I realized that I wasn't Tensitel bulletproof, and we lost my best friend, David Croft. I realized that I wasn't that John Wayne I thought I was, and I ended up checking those corners even more and being more vigilant, more self-aware, threw complacency out the window, and it started taking its toll on me before I was even home. And when I did get home, my wife, my family, everyone saw a difference, and my wife kind of, she won't say she gave me an ultimatum, but she pretty much told me it was either me or the Army, and she was a little bit cuter than the Army, so I picked her. But
good move.
And soon after my military career, and I was in the private military sector as well, I got diagnosed with cancer, And I was already struggling at the time with PTSD and depression, survivor skills, and that was definitely a blow to my knees, and it brought me to my knees, and I already had a lot of anger and hate and toward God and everyone, and then that happened, and it took me to a low spot and a dark place, and I lost friends, I lost family members, and I tried to disconnect myself with the world, but I had the great opportunity of meeting Jared and Bo at, believe it or not, at a bar in San Antonio, and he told me what he was doing, and I saw something bigger, much bigger than myself, and feeling self-pity for the, compared to what these men have gone through, compared to me, it's night and day. They've experienced and have gone through way more than I can ever imagine. And I saw that, and I saw what Jared was trying to do, and I knew right away that I needed to do this. I needed to help these guys. I needed to get focused on something bigger, and that was the Phoenix Patriot Foundation.
Would you say, Will, that the involvement in the Phoenix Patriot Foundation has almost been, in some sense, therapeutic for you? A mission that sort of has given at least part of your life a little more meaning?
Well, absolutely. I had never talked about my PTSD or mentioned David Cross' name and when I saw Bo stand up and talk about his trials and tribulations, and Jared shared his with me and their families, and it gave me the courage and the drive to accept, to understand, and to use it. So, 100% sir, absolutely. It's been the best treatment I've had.
Well, Will, I want to turn to something that is an uplifting future mission here that, in fact, you're preparing for. And that mission is that you will be escorting as part of a support team for Bo Rickenbach and Dan Knudsen, Jared's former platoon leader, as they ascend Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania this fall. Both Bo and Dan are wounded veterans that are W-amputees, but quite able-bodied, and they're about to undertake something that totally full able-bodied athletes can only aspire or dream of. So tell us a little bit about this mission, and tell us a little bit about your preparation for this, Will, because you and I had chatted briefly before we were on the air, and you're undertaking a real training regimen for this, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I'm already a skinny guy, and I've lost quite a bit of weight during my radiation treatment. So I'm on a high protein diet right now. Eggs and bacon every morning, steak and chicken for dinner, and tons of cardio, tons of legs, and I've even got a high altitude training mask that I wear during some of my workouts. But that's definitely part of my treatment, quote unquote, is getting my body in shape, getting me physically fit and ready to assist these guys going down this mountain. And once again, focusing my mind on something else other than what brings me to those dark places. And this is now my new mission, and I need to focus and place the mission first, always.
And Mount Kilimanjaro, you'll be climbing up to 19,000 feet, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Will, or rather Jared, maybe you can shed a little bit of light on how the Mount Kilimanjaro project was even conceived of.
Well, Ron, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, Dan Knudsen, who is my inspiration to start this organization. At the time, he was, you know, even 2 years ago, he was training every single day to represent America in Sochi in the Olympic Games. And he called me up one afternoon, and this is a guy who has, despite being blown up and not having knees, he has never asked me for anything. And we're talking on the phone, and Dan Kenossen says, Jared, I want to show the world. I want to show the guys that blew me up. I want to show other disabled Americans that you can do anything you want. And I want to do that through summiting Mount Kilimanjaro on my own two legs. Now this is absolutely a spiritual healing and part of Dan's personal recovery to accomplish this challenge that he set out on. And Dan says, Jared, can we do that with Phoenix Patriot Foundation? And I instantly said, Dan, absolutely. Now, inside my head, I was telling myself, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to facilitate this? I don't know anybody that has climbed Kilimanjaro. But that was 2 years ago, and since then, so many things have happened. The foundation has had incredible growth, and also since then, I've met and become good friends with the current Mount Kilimanjaro fastest ascent Guinness Book of World Records holder. And so this gentleman, Sean Birch, he's actually going to be our guide. That's going to lead us up the mountain. And in addition to Dan Kenossen and Bo Richenbach, who are both double above knee amputees, we're also going to bring in some new combat wounded veterans who we have not worked with before. But it's important to bring them into this experience so that we can get to know them, so that they can see Bo and Dan work and how they've reestablished their normalcy in lives. And with these, you know, two or three other combat wounded vets, it starts over again, and we're going to get to know them on a very personal level and figure out what it is that they want to do next and go from there.
Well, I can't tell you how ideal, at least my impression is that the ascent of one of the world's tallest mountains would seem to be so symbolic of the climb that you're helping these combat wounded veterans undertake. So I think it's a perfect mission. And you had a recent fundraising event in Houston on April 5th. How did that go?
Well, Ron, first, you know, what Will was talking about, just to you know, explain the timeline, you know, we met, Bo and I met Will 2 weeks or so after he was diagnosed with cancer. And the following month or 6 weeks, he was going to start chemotherapy. He just got done with his chemo very recently. And so what I told Will that night in the hotel lobby bar was, Will, if you want to be involved with this, I'm going to ask the same thing of you that I ask of everyone else that I work with, and attack this next challenge with passion and dedication and commitment as you did through your military service. And right now the biggest gap in this program is, you know, I've got the guide. This is Dan Kenossen's idea. I've got the team to do it. I don't have the funding. And Will stepped up and he said right then and there that night, I want to be a part of this. I'm going to set up a fundraiser in Houston. And we set the dates. We deconflicted with the city and other things going on. The event was hugely successful. And as an organization, you know, this was at the 3.5-year mark, this was our first real formal fundraiser. And from all aspects of bringing combat wounded veterans to attend this event and afford them the opportunity to speak and validate their experiences, to the media exposure, to the friendships and the connections made, and then, of course, the fundraising. We're not at the mark yet, Ron. We came in just under half of what we need to actually execute this mission with 9 or 10 guys, men and women in uniform. But we came in at about $20,000. And, you know, the folks in Houston were so generous, and we were able to do that through, you know, Will, largely planning this thing as boots on the ground in Houston as he's going through chemotherapy. I mean, it was a remarkable thing. And now that the chemo is done, you know, Will's got a massive workup.
Will,
so that he can.
Well, Will and Jared, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to ask Will a question. Everybody stay with us. We're going to be talking to Jared Ogden and Will Cannon about this fantastic mission right after this break.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. We're talking in with Jared Ogden and Will Cannon of the Phoenix Patriot Foundation. We've been talking about supporting combat wounded veterans and a fantastic mission that's coming up in the fall where Will Cannon will be escorting and part of a team that is supporting a group of wounded combat veterans that will be climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. And Will, I have to ask you, is this whole focus on fundraising for the Patriots Foundation, specifically to support this mission, is this like a whole new career for you?
No, I'm strictly volunteer. My title is an ambassador.
No, I mean, is it was the reorientation toward focusing on this kind of nonprofit foundation support of almost like undertaking a whole new discipline, if you will, like it would be almost a career, even though you're doing it part time and you're a volunteer.
No, absolutely. It's been a second job for me, but it, like I told you before, it keeps me focused in something bigger and better. My company.
Well, I have to say, Will, that I appreciate that you joined us and that all of our listeners will be pulling for you and the entire Mount Kilimanjaro Ascent team in the fall. And for listeners out there that want to learn more about it and how they can contribute, you can go to www.phoenixpatriotfoundation.org and you can learn lots more about what the Phoenix Patriot Foundation is doing, and you can learn more about the Mount Kilimanjaro project. Jared, are you there? I lost them both. We're having some technical difficulties here. We had Jared Ogden, the CEO and founder of the Phoenix Patriot Foundation, with us. And we have temporarily lost contact with them, but we were talking about the Phoenix Patriot Foundation's project where a team of combat wounded veterans will be ascending Mount Kilimanjaro. And they have a fundraiser on April 26th here in Atlanta, Georgia. It'll be a week from tomorrow, so that if there are any interested individuals out there, you can go to the website, learn more about this event. It's going to be held in the North Metro Atlanta area at the Dunwoody Country Club. And also, if you're just interested in making a contribution, you can go, as I said, to the website, www.phoenixpatriotfoundation.org, and you'll be able to make a contribution to the organization and support this this mission specifically. I wanted to ask Jared, are you there? Or Will?
I'm here, sir. Will.
Okay. Will, are you gonna you're gonna be able to join the Phoenix Patriot Foundation on the 26th here in Atlanta?
Yes, sir. I'll fly on Thursday morning.
Well, for any listeners out there that actually want to get to meet you and attend this event, they'll have that opportunity on the 26th. And will either Bo Rickenbach or Dan Knudsen be a part of this event?
Bo Rickenbach is actually having surgery on his ruptured eardrum that weekend, but Dan Knudsen will be there, so people will have the opportunity to meet him for sure.
Well, I dare say that it would be a really great event to be a part of, and. I don't know, Will, if you we had lost you there temporarily, but I don't know if you heard me say that I was certain that all of our listeners are going to be pulling for you and the entire Mount Kilimanjaro ascent team. So our best wishes for a successful mission there.
Thank you, sir. It will be.
Do we have Jared again?
Yes, sir. Hey, Ron.
Welcome back, Jared.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about the April 26th event in Atlanta, and are you going to be attending as well?
Absolutely. I'd love to share that with you. We are hosting another formal fundraiser in Atlanta at the Dunwoody Country Club on April 26th. We've been planning this for 6 or 8 months, and we've got Dan Knudsen, who will be there. Bo Rickenbach was supposed to, but he's undergoing a surgery the day before, and a handful of other combat wounded veterans. And the purpose of this fundraiser is to, one, establish a strong footprint in the Atlanta area and get the word out there, but also it is a fundraiser, so to raise money and funds for general programs, all of these different challenge events that we do. And, Ron, I will be there. In fact, the company that I work for, Asymmetric Solutions near St. Louis, my direct superior and I are going to be parachuting into the country club on the 18th green to kick things off on the 26th at 6 p.m.
Well, you might actually be coming in over the home of our station owner and general manager, who's our station engineer today. David Moxley, so make sure you wave to David. He's within a stone's throw of the country club. I did want to mention that Asymmetric Solutions is a major supporter of the Phoenix Patriot Foundation and of this event. And, Jared, if you'll take just a moment, because I think I'd like to invite you back to the business hour to talk strictly about Asymmetric Solutions, but tell us in a nutshell what your role as Director of Operations is and a little bit about Asymmetric Solutions.
Well, the focus of the company Asymmetric Solutions is to provide shooting instruction to civilians who choose to use the Second Amendment And those individuals who want to come and learn how to use their firearms safely and effectively, but also on the tactical level, we work with law enforcement and all levels of Department of Defense. We operate on an 1,800-acre playground, if you will. It is a low-rural environment, and we're able to test tactics and you know, we have a ballistic shoot house that you can shoot inside, and a lot of 360-degree live fire ranges and driving ranges. So really, when I say it's a playground for men and women who serve in that capacity, whether DOD or law enforcement, this is the playground where we practice what we do real world.
But it's a very serious playground where tactical skills are finely honed, as you mentioned. I'd like to have you back, and we can talk more about that, Jared. But for now, I have to say, Will Cannon and Jared Ogden, you've got to find this current mission in supporting and playing a key role with the Phoenix Patriot Foundation as one of the most fulfilling you've ever undertaken. And I want to thank you both for your good work and for the good work of the Phoenix Patriot Foundation. And also thank you both for taking the time to be my guests today in the Business Hour.
Well, Ron, thank you for helping share our story. Will and I appreciate that very much on behalf of the foundation.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Jared. You've been listening to the Business Hour here at America's Web Radio. We're on 10 to 11 a.m. on Fridays. Have a great weekend. And go to www.phoenixpatriotsfoundation.org to learn more about the upcoming event here in Atlanta. See you on the radio next week.